Our Heavenly Father, we come before you. We ask that you're going to speak to us and open our eyes and that we can see the wonderful light of your gospel and open our ear that we can hear your word. And I pray that you help us to live a life that is pleasing in your sight. And I pray that you help us to remember what you have said to us today, and so that we can walk in your light. And in your light, we may see you. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. In chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, Paul saying that, "Be imitator of God. Therefore, as dearly loved children, be imitator of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." I would like you to write it down right beside verse 2, "Live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." I would like you to write down 1 John chapter 4, 10 and 19. First John First John chapter 4 verse 10. Joshua, could you read that? 4:10. Chapter 10, chapter 4, verse 10, 1 John. This is love. What is love? This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sin. That is love. He loved us and sent his Son as a atoning sacrifice for our sins. 19, we love because he first loved us. I want you to write down these two Bible verses, 1 John chapter 4, 10 and 19. You write it down right beside chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. What is the reason why Paul encouraged us, urge us to be imitators of God? In what aspect Paul wants us to be imitator of God? He said, "Therefore, as dearly loved children," God loved us so much. This is love. What kind of love that God loved us? He loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins, according to 1 John chapter 4, verse 10. But according to chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2, "Live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." And chapter 4, 1 John chapter 4, verse 10. This is love. And then he say, "Not that we love God, but that he loved us." Not that we love God, but that he loved us. At what time we start to love God? When we experience God's love towards us. What kind of love that he loved us? He sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sin. He didn't love righteous people. He loved sinner. That is love. He loved sinner. We don't deserve his love, and yet he loved us. He loved us. He wants us to respond to his love. He wants us to be imitator of his love. That is an example he set on the cross for each and every one of us to see that. And I'm glad that Apostle John, he said that. Not that we love God. You know, if we love God first, then we have something to boast about. But when we find out we love because he loved us first. Chapter 4, verse 19. We love. We want to be imitators of God in the area of love. We love because he first loved us. When we experience his love towards us, and we turn around, we repent. And Paul in Ephesians chapter 5, he talks about two kinds of love. One is sexual love. One is sacrificial love. The kind of love that God loves us is a sacrificial love. It's an atoning sacrifice for our sins. And in verse 3, but among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. If you read verse 2 and verse 3 together, you see there's two kinds of love. One is sacrificial love. It's a holy love. The other is secular love. It's a sexual immorality. The second one is Satan is using this to tempt God's people. And if we keep on doing that and not turning around, the end we saw is death. And take a look at verse 5. Chapter 5, verse 5. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Such man, immoral man, impure man, greedy person, such man is an idolater. He has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. So Paul in here talk about two kind of love. One is holy one. One is secular one. The holy one leads us to heaven. The secular one leads us to hell. You understand? So especially nowadays, we live in this wicked society, and it's so easy to get access to sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or greed. And Satan is using this to tempt God's people. So we better be very, very, very careful. And look at the situation, what we are like before we come to know Christ. Chapter 4, verse 17. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do. Before we come to know Christ, we are not constrained. We are not taught by the Word of God. So we follow the pattern of this world. What our friends are doing, we do it. And make sure we no longer live as the Gentiles do. In the futility of their thinking, and they are darkened in their understanding, they don't understand God's word, and they separated from the life of God. They separated from the life of God, that means they follow the very pattern of Satan. Because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their heart. But now that we know God, we allow God's word to soften our heart and open our eyes and give us understanding, and so that we are in Christ, not separated from the life of God. When we were unbeliever, verse 19, having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality, so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, with a continual lust for more. And the other day, I see that from the news that right after the governor of New York City, the Governor Cuomo, he used to be the Attorney General of New York City, and he become the governor. Once he become a governor, he passed the law of the passing the same-sex marriage. And what they are doing, they just want to attract, they want to be politically correct, they want to attract more vote, and so as to secure his own power, not for the welfare of the human being. And when we look at the Bible, we will see that, and God will judge that. In those days, Moses written in Genesis, in those days, God sent fire from heaven to burn the city of Gomorrah, Sodom and Gomorrah. And verse 20, Paul saying that, chapter 4, you, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him, in according with the truth that is in Christ. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to pull off your old self. What is the old self? The old self is live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding. They don't understand God's will. They separated from the life of God. They don't have Jesus Christ in their heart, nor do they have the Holy Spirit in their heart, because of the ignorance in them due to the hardening of their heart. They keep on doing what they want to do. And not only they doing it, they approve the other people doing it for their own benefit, not for the benefit of the city of New York. And I believe it won't be very long. City of Edmonton will be like that. I still remember around 30 years ago, there are some people, they want the mayor of Edmonton to join them in the gay parade, the mayor at that time say, no, I don't join that because I'm a Christian. And now I see that, you know, 20, 30 years later, all the politicians join them, approve them. And I'm not saying that we hate them. We love them. You know, they are human beings too, just like we are. They are sinner and we are sinner. But just that now that we become Christian, and we were taught with regard to your former way of life, we were taught to put off our old self in verse 22 of chapter 4. We have to put it off. Don't do it anymore. Whatever you have done before, and now that you are safe, and now that you understand God's will, and not only not doing it, but also be imitator of God. Be imitator of God. Therefore, as dearly loved children, as dearly loved children, that means God loved us so much, so dearly, He willing to send His one and only Son from heaven and die on the cross on our behalf. And that's what Paul say. And that's also what John say too. So he want us to be imitator of God as dearly loved children. Live a life of love. In the church, we learn. First of all, we learn within our own family. We learn to love our own children, love our own parents, love our own relatives. We learn to live a godly life at home. And then we learn to love our brother and sister in Christ at the church. And if we learn it well, then we learn to love sinner in the society. Because we are all sinners. We are not condemning any group of people. But people just want to... I'm not against people who are homosexual, but just that you don't have to allow them to have the a gay marriage. But because this society is by election, by voting, so he wants to gain more vote so as to secure his own position, he end up allowing people to do things that they want to do. At the same time, it is against the will of the Lord. It is against God's word. So, I can see in the future, anyone who if a gay couple coming to your church and ask you to officiate the marriage, if you say no, and I think eventually they're going to lock you up, you will see that. So we are living in a very, very wicked society. And I would like you to, recall one thing. Like when you watch the TV, in the advertising, what do you see? Do you see a lot of advertising for the drugs? Do you see that? It is a big business. A lot of people know that. I know, you know, when we are sick, we need to see a doctor. I don't deny that. But now it's getting so used to, when we are sick, get so used to go to see a doctor for the prescription drugs. Sometime when you are depressed, and you end up going to see a doctor, the doctor prescribe you with drugs, and sooner or later you get hooked up to the antidepressant drugs. And now a lot of people in U.S., they are in this kind of situation. Whatever you see in the TV, the advertising, you see this is a big business. And so I would like to encourage you, if you people are sick, seek God help. At the same time, you can seek a medical doctor too. But don't be so easily to hook on to drugs. Unfortunately, and that's the way the medical doctor are trained to do it. Some of the disease that we have, some of the sickness that we have, some of the weaknesses that we have, because we harden our heart, we separate ourselves from the life of God. If our life are linked together with the life of God, I think our life will be very healthy. You know, do you remember what Jesus said? I'm the true vine, you are the branches, and apart from me, you cannot bear fruit. If it's within the vine, you will keep on bearing fruit. So if our life are in the life of Jesus Christ, if you allow Jesus Christ to live in your life, to live a life of love, to live a life of light, I think we're going to live very healthy. So when I prepare this lesson, I see one thing that it shocked me. If you look at the Luke chapter 22, verse 31 to 32. Jesus said to Simon, "Simon, Simon," he said, "Satan," 22 verse 31, "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat." And when I go and read the, this is NIV translation. Isn't it your translations like that, right? "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat." When I read the NASB, he said, "Simon, Simon, behold." He said, "Behold them and look at it. You better watch out. Satan has demanded permission to sift you as wheat." Can anyone turn to the book of Job, chapter 1? Isn't it? Job is the righteous man on earth in those days, right? Remember that? Just Job is right before Psalm. Okay? Job and then Psalm. Job chapter 1, verse 6. What did the Bible say? "One day the angel came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan also came with them. The Lord said to Satan, 'Where have you come from?' Satan answered the Lord, 'From roaming through the earth and going back and forth in it.'" Satan is roaming back and forth through the earth. Do you know why? Gabriel, do you know why? Do you know why? Do you know why you're going back and forth? You're looking around? Do you know why? You know, at that time, Peter didn't know that. And later on, when Peter write 1 Peter chapter 5, don't leave Job, eh? I haven't finished with Job yet. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, be self-controlled and alert. Be self-controlled and alert. I think this word is very, very precious. Very, very precious in the sight of Peter. He wasn't self-controlled. He wasn't alert. But now he realized it's very dangerous. And he tell the saint, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, Satan, crawl around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. And then verse 9, resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brother throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of suffering. I want you to write it down. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 to 9. You write down Job chapter 1, verse 7. The Lord said to Satan, where have you come from? Satan answered the Lord, from roaming through the earth and going back and forth in it. Then verse 8, then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. Verse 9, how did Satan answer him? Does Job fear God for nothing? Satan replied, have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? You have blessed the work of his hands so that his flock and herds are spread throughout the land. How did Satan know? Because Satan roaming through the earth and going back and forth. He see that. But stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. The Lord said to Satan, very well, then everything he has is in your hand. But on the man himself, do not lay a finger. Then Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. One day, when Job's son was feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house, a messenger came to Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the donkey were grazing nearby. And the Sabaeans attacked and carried them off. They put the servant to the shore, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, the fire of God fell from the sky and burned up the sheep and the servants, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, the Chaldeans formed three raiding parties and swept down on your camel and carried them off. They put the servant to the shore, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, yet another messenger came and said, your sons and daughter were feasting and drinking wine at the older son's house, oldest brother's house, when suddenly a mighty wind swept in from the desert and struck the four corners of the house. It collapsed on them, and they are dead, and I am the only one who escaped to tell you. And at this, Job got up and torn his robe and shaved his head. Then he fell to the ground in worship and said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised." In all this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. Satan always attacking the saint. In this story, we know that when Job lived an upright life, Satan hates that. And Satan accusing Job, saying that the reason why Job feared God, because God, you set hedges around his property, all he has. And God say, okay, everything he has, including 7 of his son, 3 of his daughter, everything he has is in your hand. In other words, if God do not allow it happen, Satan cannot even touch his property. You understand? If God did not allow it happen, but because Satan accusing Job, saying that the reason why he lived an upright life, because you protected him. The reason why he is blameless and upright, a man who fear God and shun evil, is not without reason. He fear you because you protect him. You set hedges around him. If you take away that protection, and Job will curse you, will depart from you. And God know that. God know that. Job will not do that. So God allow it happen. Allow Satan to take away everything he has, including his children. And yet, what did Job say? "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave all this property to me, including my children, 7 boys, 3 girls. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised." He did not curse God. He still praised God. He is truly an upright man, blameless man, who fear God and shun evil. And Satan using this to attack Job. And lo and behold, in chapter 2, or Luke chapter 2, verse 31 and 32, Satan want to attack Peter. Wow, scary. Fortunately, Jesus Christ, our Lord, prayed for Peter so that he won't lose faith. Otherwise, when Peter suffer, probably Peter will walk away. You understand? And I am glad. I want you to remember that. Do you remember Judah, the one who betrayed Jesus? After he betrayed Jesus, he found out that he made a mistake. Did he go back to Jesus? No, he didn't. Right? But do you know that Peter denied Jesus Christ 3 times? Did he go back to Jesus? He go back. Because of Luke chapter 22, 31 to 32. Jesus prayed for him. We need to be self-controlled and be alert. Just like what Peter said. You know now, you know, if we don't have this kind of background, when we look at the Bible, be self-controlled and alert, then you say,
What are you talking about? Why do I have to be self-controlled? Can I not do the thing that I like to do? I want you to circle the word be self-controlled. Okay? I want you to take a look at Gospel of John. The last chapter, 21. And what did Jesus say to Peter? Verse 18. I tell you the truth, Jesus said to Peter, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. 19. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. I want to read that to you again. Verse 18. I tell you the truth, Jesus said to Peter. When you are young, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hand and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. When Peter was young, was he self-controlled? Was he alert? Joshua? What's the proof of it? When we want to go where we want, that's not self-control. What is self-control? What is self-control? Go to the place you don't want to go. And knowing that this is the place Jesus wants him to go. Is that self-control? Is it? Right? What is alert? Knowing that Satan has asked of you. You know, he come to God. He can accuse us. Oh, I want John Lamb. I want Joshua Lamb. I want Joyce Lamb. You know, if Jesus say yes, then we're in a situation, we'll be by saying, am I? It's kind of scary, eh? You know, if I don't read the background of it, if I don't know Luke 31 to 32, I don't realize it. Satan wanted to get us. Just like in the Old Testament times, Satan wanted to get Job. Why? Because he's upright man, blameless man. In God's sight, we are blameless. In God's sight, we are righteous. He wanted to get you. He will want to get you. He wanted to deceive you. He's going to tempt you to sins against God. And Satan attack is very cunning. Very, very cunning. You know what? When Satan take away all that Job has, and at that time, if Job cursed God, then he can say, see, didn't I see? Is that what I say? Now he cursed you. You struck him to death now. He cursed you. You understand what I'm trying to say? It's very scary, eh? You remember I talk about that Second Timothy? If I remember right, I think it's Second Timothy chapter 1 verse 7, something like that. Paul reminded Timothy, the gifts of God that Paul, the gifts of God that God gave it to Timothy through the laying on of hand by Paul on Timothy, saying, God did not give you a spirit of timidity. God gave you a spirit of what? Spirit of power and of love and of what? Self-discipline. Is it 1:7? 2 Timothy? For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. Self-discipline is self-control, okay? Okay? Self-discipline. Paul is more spiritual than Peter. Do you know that? Do you know that? Right after Paul becomes Christian, he followed Jesus Christ. He didn't go where he wanted it to go. He go where Christ wanted him to go. He's self-disciplined. You know, like, if we do something, and all of a sudden you hear the Holy Spirit saying to you, Hannah, don't do that, then are you going to keep on doing it? And you're going to say, okay, I don't do it. That's self-control. That's self-discipline. And when you do something, the Holy Spirit say to you, Hannah, don't do it, then you be alert, you stop doing it, will Satan be able to attack you? He cannot. You understand what I'm trying to say? With this in your mind, then you understand why Paul saying that, be imitator of God. Live a life of love. Because God loved you so dearly. So he called the recipients of the book of Ephesians as dearly loved children, right? As dearly loved children. Because God loved us so much. He sent his son to die for us. So as to rescue us from the hand of Satan. Now that we become Christian, all the things that we used to do before we come to know Christ, we got to stop doing it. Put off the old self. Take it off. The dirty clothes. And put on a new one. And you protect yourself in this way. And Satan cannot attack you. If you don't know this background, then you say, why should I live a holy life? Right? You will argue. You don't live a holy life, he's going to lead you to hell. You're going to follow him. Follow Satan. Because the whole world is under his control. Could you turn to 1 John 5:18-19? Do you know how Satan used what did Satan use to tempt us to walk away from the truth and to follow him? He using sex, using money, using idol, using drugs, using gambling. You know, we do this kind of stuff, it's not self-control. You know, this is no good. What did I just say, Gabriel? How did he tempt us? First, sex, drugs, gambling, money, idol. I tell you one thing. When you are 16, 17, 18, and he's going to use sex to tempt you. I think in David's age, Satan would not use sex, use toy, computer game. Okay? And Jean's age, using sex. Boyfriend, girlfriend. Okay? So we better watch out. At different stage of our life. Did you watch the new Stratcon, the Dominic Stratcon, the IMF chief? Right? He fall into the temptation by what? By sex. He's not a young man, right? He's an old man. So this kind of temptation, not in his age, you know, when you are 15, 16, 17, okay, on, he's going to tempt you in this area of your life. So that's why, free from sexual immorality, impurity, and starting when you are in the age of, when you are in the age of 20, you won't be greedy, you know, because you make much money anyway when you're 20. But by the time, you know, maybe 30, you start accumulate some wealth, and you'll be want for more and more, okay? The greed will come. You understand? And we better watch out. Satan has a lot of toy to tempt us. Okay? But if we have the Word of God, chapter 5, verse 5, we know that such person, greed, idolater, sexually immoral people, sexual impure person, such person has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. When we remember this God's word, we say, wow, if I do this, and then I lose the best stuff to go to heaven, then I have self-control. Do you know where self-control comes from? Self-control comes from the fear of God and the love of God. Hannah, when assuming you get married now, okay, you have a loving husband, okay, and then all of a sudden you go to New York City, see a tall, dark, and handsome man, and you know that you are a married woman already, and you see a tall, dark, handsome, and then you follow after him. But if you truly love your husband, then you're going to say to yourself, I can't do that because I love my husband. And you know that your husband say to you, oh, if you did that to me, I'm going to divorce you. And you fear of the divorce. Then you won't do that also. So self-control, self-discipline come from where? From the Word of God. From the love of God. From the fear of God. But if you don't study the scripture, you say, wow, thanks God for giving me this opportunity to know this young man, you know? You understand what I'm trying to say? Satan will use this kind of opportunity to tempt you. I heard a story. I don't know whether it's true or not. I heard a story. A young man, he's on trip all the time. And on a company trip. So a company paid for a high-class hotel. And he checked into the hotel. And then all of a sudden, there's a lady, very beautiful lady, approach him. And asking him whether you want to have a drink. He said, I don't mind. And lo and behold, half an hour later, go up to the room to sleep with her. Next morning, when he get up, You know what did he see? He lost all his wallet, lost all his money, and then with the lipstick right on the mirror, saying that, I have AIDS. And he's a married man. One time, he lost his life. We better watch out. Remember Luke chapter 22, 31 to 32? What did Luke say? What did Jesus say? Simon, Simon, Satan wants to get you. Ask of you. He asked God, give me Peter. He allowed Peter to suffer, allowed Peter to go through temptation. When he fall, I'm going to kill him. Fortunately, Jesus prayed for us so that we won't lose faith. In case when we fall into temptation, we turn around. And Jesus said, when you turn around, when you repent, you strengthen the other brother and sister. Because we all face this kind of situation. We better be what? Be self-controlled, be self-disciplined, because the gifts of God that God gave it to us is a spirit of what? Spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. I found out that self-discipline is very, very good. Because I don't care how much you earn, how much do you have, just like Job. You can lose all of it in one setting, in one instant. But one thing that God gave it to you, spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline, what God has given it to you, He won't take it away. And with that Holy Spirit, you can go to heaven. Without that, you're in deep trouble. You cannot rely upon yourself to fight the fight. You have to rely on what? On the Holy Spirit, on His Word. Chapter 5, verse 5, Ephesians. For of this you can be sure. You can be sure of this. What can we be sure? No immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty word, for because such thing God's wrath come on those who are disobedient. And some other pastor, and I will guarantee you, some other pastor will say to you, oh, Joshua, Gabriel, don't worry. You are saved. You are saved once, you are saved for all. But in chapter 5, verse 6, let no one, including pastor, deceive you with empty word. For because such thing, if immoral, impure, greedy person, such a man is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. This is what Jesus said through the mouth of Paul. For because of such things, God's wrath comes to those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partner with them. Right? Kind of scared. Can anyone tell me what is the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the last Holy Spirit? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, right? Self-control is the night one. It's a self-discipline. That's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's very good. You know why I put it in the last one? Can anyone tell me? What's the first one? What's the first one? The fruit of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:20 to 22. 5:22 to 23. Peace? Is love first. Second, joy. Third one, peace. Love, joy, peace. Patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness. The last one is self-control. Without the last one, you have all the other one without the last one. Can you imagine, you know, you're a runner. You don't have self-control, you cut corner. You don't have that self-control. Even though you win, you lose. Because you're against the rule. You understand? Make sure we all can go to heaven. Thing that you are doing, and you find out, you are not an imitator of God. The thing that you are doing, you are not an imitator of God. You stop doing it. Have that self-control. Hannah, what have you learned today? Yeah. Did Jesus have self-control? Do you remember that Jesus was tempted 40 day and night in the wilderness? Did Jesus Christ have self-control? Throughout the conversation between Satan and Jesus, what's the proof that he has self-control? Eh? How did he resist the devil? What did the devil say to Jesus? If you are the Son of God, you don't have to be hungry. And how come you have nothing to eat? If you are Son of God, God is so wealthy, he has so much, right? And how come you have to be hungry? He accused him. That means you may not be Son of God. And what did he say? Man does not live on bread alone, but on what? But on the word. But on every word that comes from the mouth of God, right? So he leaned on the word of God. He has that self-control. You remember that he was led to their highest mountain, and Satan showed him the glory of this world. You worship me, you bow down to me, I give you the glory. I give you the whole world. And Joshua, what did he say to Satan? Oh man, you do not have the word of God within your heart, man. Gabriel, do you know how did he answer him? He said, you bow down to me, you worship me, I give you the world. Yeah, you know, hey, what's wrong with you? Daydreaming. Same thing. Oh, what's the matter with you? We only worship one God. We don't worship Satan, right? We don't bow down to anyone. Brother and sister, and Paul saying that in here, be imitator. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 1, be imitator of God, follow the very footsteps of Jesus Christ as dearly loved children and live a life of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you, there must not be a hint of sexual immorality. Sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are our place, but rather thanksgiving. When we imitate God, imitate Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ will help us all the way. When we follow the pattern of this world, we will be led astray by Satan. And we have to know the outcome. Take a look at, can someone read that to me? Chapter 5, verse 18 to 19, Joshua, 1 John. Chapter 5, 18 to 19. So according to these Bible verses, what does it mean? Anyone born of God does not continue to sin. The one who was born of God keep him safe. And the evil one cannot harm him. What does it mean by the one who was born of God keep him safe? What does it mean? Are you the one who was born of God? Are you? How do you keep yourself safe? Say it again. When you're born of God, God protect you, you mean? But in here, he didn't say God protect him. The one who was born of God, keep him safe. The one is you. You keep yourself safe. How do you keep yourself safe? Good. What's the proof of that? Chapter 2, verse 14. 1 John 2:14. Could you read that? When you have the word of God within your heart, you overcome the evil one. Right? 2:14, isn't it? Hannah? Yeah. That's the proof, right? Without the word of God, how can you overcome Satan? So you keep yourself safe by having the word of God within your heart so that you overcome him. What else that you can overcome Satan? The gifts of God. What kind of gifts that God gave it to us? You remember 2 Timothy 1:7? God did not give you the spirit of timidity. God gave you a spirit of power and of love and of what? Self-discipline. Self-control. Keep yourself safe. You have to be cooperative with God. First of all, hide the word of God within your heart so that you be overcomer. And secondly, you have to do your part. Self-control. Lean on the Holy Spirit to be self-control. Then he cannot harm you. He can do nothing to you. Same as, you say, watch out about cocaine, watch out about the drugs. Hey, you don't touch this kind of thing. You don't get close to it. He cannot harm you. You have no desire to touch it. You have no desire to take it. Alcohol and stuff like that. You know, you don't even want to try it. He cannot harm you. But if you say, you're curious, you want to try it, you try it once, you're dead. You understand what I'm trying to say? I still remember when I was at Carleton University to study engineering, and you know, in the graduate school, when you are studying master, you have your own office, you know, to mark the undergrad paper and stuff like that. When I get one afternoon, when I get into the office, I see the professor, I see the student. They take drugs, you know, and ask me, you want to try, John? I don't want to try. I say, thank you. I walk away. It's really bad. They are graduate school students, and yet they're doing it. How sad it is. We are living in this wicked society. And they are not dumb students. They are very smart students. And yet they're doing it. When you're getting older, and people are going to say, wow, you're old enough. You're 18. Go to a bar and get some drink. And then if they put some kind of date rape drugs there, they destroy your life. You understand, Hannah? And you regret. You understand, Joyce? Just one pill. Change your life. Eh? What did you say? Eh?
One pill changes your life.
One pill changes your life?
Random thought, okay.
Random thought. Don't have this kind of random thought, my friend. Okay, don't think what you like to think, okay? Have a self-control, random thought. Oh, man. Hey, children, I want all of you to be an overcomer. Let the word of God keep within your heart. Ask God to give you a spirit of power, so that you can overcome Satan, and spirit of love, so that you can love God, and spirit of self-control, that you can make a right decision to follow Jesus, be imitator of God instead of follow the pattern of Satan and of this world. Most of the time, Satan will appear to you in a human form to attract you. You understand? It looks like it's harmless, but in the end, it leads you to death. Be imitator of God. Don't follow the pattern of this world. As for you, you were dead in your sins and transgression in which you used to live. When you follow the way of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of this air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. You either be imitator of God that lead you to heaven, or you be imitator of Satan that lead you to hell. It's very dangerous. Be self-controlled and alert. Right? Satan is roaming around to get you and to get me. If we are not careful, we'll be dead. You got it? Should we study the Word of God? Should we pray earnestly? Should we memorize Bible verses? How Jesus overcome Satan? By the word of God. Our Heavenly Father, I pray you set hatches around each and every one of us. I give you thanks that how you prayed for Peter in those days, and I know you will continue to pray for us. And I pray that we won't lose faith. We continue to follow you. In case when we sin against you, and give us the repentant heart, we turn around and follow after you and ask for your forgiveness. Help us. I handed the children into your hand. Watch over them. Help them to be self-controlled and be alert. I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.